I consider myself a rational man, a man of science, you know, open to whatever, but I feel like a child, George. I feel scared.
Me too.
Well, whatever the reason is, I promise you we'll find it, okay? Now, let me see you do that one more time.
Hello.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Everybody, welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 320.
Oh, wow, you really left us hanging.
I did. It's not quite the even number you're looking for, but it's the one we've got. I'm Scott Johnson, and joining me today, Brian, is something trying to tell me something? Dunaway.
Hey.
Hey.
Look, thanks for seeing me, Doc. I'm here because I can't sleep, I can't stop reading books. Why, just today I read three whole books while in your waiting room. There was Go Dog Go, One Fish, Two Fish, that's just one book, and Hop on Pop. I learned the entire Seussian language in like 20 minutes. Mm. Well, maybe not the whole thing, but enough conversational Seussian to save one of those Who kids down at the farm if he, she gets a hold of some bad beezle nut stew.
Cuckoo, hello?
Ka-choo. Right? Hey, Doc, do you smell that? It's like a mix of Aqua Velva, Bengay, and pig manure. Whoa, good one, Doc. I didn't see you mooning me there. You know that's not normal, right?
Right.
But that does remind me I need to stop by the library and pick up Goodnight Moon. What a waste of a brain tumor.
Oh, man.
Wow.
No one, a thing no one's ever said. Fantastic. Well done. Brian, are you okay over there? You said hello in the middle of that. And... Everything all right?
Did you hear me? Was
yeah. I you've heard of butt dialing. I butt unplugged my headset and had no idea. Nice. I thought Skype disconnected. I'm typing into Skype like, I can't hear you guys anymore. And I'm saying hello. It's like, wait a minute. I don't even hear myself, which means it's got to be something on my end. And then I look over and my cord is just dangling there.
Whoa.
Half tucked nice. Under my...
So did you come in at Aqua Velva, Bengay, and pig manure?
I came in on Goodnight Moon. I'm going to have to listen to you guys when the show goes up.
I loved it. It was like right in the middle. Hello? Hello.
Hello.
That was amazing. All right. Also,
is this thing on?
Also with us, Randy, we've seen the worst Travolta / Whitaker collaboration on FilmSack, and now we've seen the best, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. So, wait. Hold on. This is a very important call. Hold on. Hello? Yeah. I called about the guy with the powers. Okay, so I just have a few questions. What's his name again? George Malley. Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. He sounds like he's right out of It's a Wonderful Life already. This is going to be good. Okay, second question. What can he do with his new powers? He can make small objects move without touching them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how long before he flew to Vegas? Yeah. Really? Oh, okay. Where is he now? In a brothel. All right. You know, when you first started telling me about him, I didn't believe you. But now your story sounds very realistic.
Yeah, now he's making small things move, if you know what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
By the way, my reference when introducing Randy, for those who don't know, was Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth.
Yeah.
And I didn't connect that until you said it.
Yeah.
I was thinking this entire movie, what a great chemistry they had.
They're a good
and
pair.
I'd forgotten about them being in the other.
Yeah, I agree. They're a good pair. Finally with us, Brian, Energy Bob, the little pieces, Ibbit.
Energy Bob.
Brian, hello, Ibbit. apparently, so I did a little research, and you know I'm all into music and history of music and lyrics and stuff like that. We've actually been singing the Phenomenon song wrong this whole time, right? Because we always thought the lyrics were Phenomenon, do-do-do-do-do, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no. Apparently, they're actually, the original version, much like Hawaii Five-0 and MASH, the original version actually had lyrics, and I've got them right here in front of me.
Okay.
Phenomenon, he's got a tumor. Phenomenon, it makes him smart. phenomenon. It helps to make tomatoes, read Morse code, and compost, and knows how to satisfy a girl. There's a second verse. Phenomenon. He's got telekinesis. Phenomenon. Which makes no sense. Phenomenon. It has much to do with intelligence as being a great cook and being able to sharpen knives with your butt.
Oh my gosh. I want to see someone try to sharpen their knife with their butt. That's really great.
Robert Duvall's butt double, because that guy had a nice butt. That was not Robert Duvall's.
Robert Duvall's butt double, no, totally.
Somebody on Twitter, so I made a GIF out of that, and somebody on Twitter claims that before they remembered the movie, they recognized it as Robert Duvall's butt, and I call foul. I don't think they could. I know. That's what I say. I say there's no way.
Where else do you see Robert Duvall's butt?
I don't think it's ever been exposed. Maybe MASH? Did he show it on MASH when him and Houlihan were getting it on or something?
I can't believe I'm about to Google Robert Duvall's butt.
It's going to be.
Why could not find anything? I looked earlier.
It does look like a kind of a younger ass.
It does look like, but then again, he's a younger Robert Duvall.
It is that same pink color as Robert Duvall, though.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if that scene is like, in the great statistics of Netflix, if that's like one of the most paused scenes in any of Netflixdom.
Maybe
trying to see if that scene.
Yeah. No.
What? No, you don't think so?
No. If they've ever had Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I can guarantee you that that's not the most paused scene ever on Netflix.
Yeah, I hear it's a good point. I doubt it, but I wonder if his butt or not, it didn't contribute.
Basic instinct.
It made me worry because through the whole movie, he is supposed to be the voice of reason, and yeah, he's folksy and yeah, he's hometowny and all that, but he's also the physician with presumably 10 years of medical schooling and training behind him. Who's mushing his freaking pressed fruit bowl on the window? Like, it just seemed very unprofessional for a doctor. I don't know.
I don't know. That seemed pretty
I've known some really silly doctors.
Yeah. Like, hometown doctors are just the worst, and they're also the best. They're great.
Yeah.
He's not like the doctor that Michael J. Fox took over for in Doc Hollywood.
No.
Right.
No, that's a good point.
I've met a doctor like this before. I actually went to our urgent care center in town, and this guy scratched his butt more times than I cared to count. And then, he reaches for my, my face, and I'm like, hey, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I had to see a specialist once, and this wasn't that long ago, who, for whatever reason, was really into man spreading. You know what I'm talking about? Where they just, they have their legs as far apart as possible all the time.
I'm doing it right now.
That's right. But his problem was he was also half unzipped the entire time. It was really hard for me to pay attention. Mm-hmm. I was just like, dude, freaking pull that zipper all the way up, buddy. I don't want to see your doodle.
So I
prefer an OCD kind of doctor who's, all about every hair in the right place. And
yeah, I do too. I do too.
But there are good situations for a wacky doctor. Like if you get sick when you're out of town and you go and you're only going to ever see the guy once. And you really need him to just give you a shot of cortisone so you can live. Mm-hmm. A wacky doctor is a great friend to me.
Yeah, yeah.
No, or at a Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. That's where you want some wacky doctors.
I want them to be funny and goofy and then immediately turn sad about the war they're in. That's what I need.
That's somber and right.
So,
Robert Duvall for me, Robert Duvall is, he always makes me feel like he loves everybody. In every movie I've ever seen him in, he just feels like the most loving person.
He is a national treasure, and we should treat him as such. He's one of my favorite character actors of all time. He should never go away. He should live forever. He probably won't, but
I agree with you on all of that. I really do. Like, I have some favorite Robert Duvall movies. This movie, he really reminds me of a bunch of other performances. He doesn't have anything unique in this movie.
Well, I don't feel like he's all that different than most of his movies. Like to me, he's got a bit of a Jeff Bridges problem in that it's not really a problem because we like it, but it's still kind of the same performance across the board. It's often hometown folksy dude.
Right. So you want me to play a gruff curmudgeon with a heart of gold? Okay, I can do that.
There you go. Nailed it. That's exactly it. And he does it really well. And I think I'm cool with it. I think I'm totally fine with it. And
take comfort in that.
Yeah, I too take some comfort in that. Speaking of another guy who does that. He does that too.
What's your favorite?
Let's go around. Favorite Robert Duvall. Yeah. Before we even get to what this movie is. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Who's going ahead?
I don't know.
I'll go ahead.
It doesn't matter. I'll throw mine out there.
The FBI agent who's retiring the very next day, but still wants to catch Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
That's a good one. Falling Down. Yeah.
You picked that one, so I will follow up with my second favorite, which is...
that's why I want to go first, because I knew a lot of people
about that one. I'm gonna fall back to his Harry Hogg in Days of Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's a good one. I was kind of tortured in that a little bit. I enjoy that.
For me, it's that nobody seems to have ever seen it except me and Scott Johnson classic Open Range.
I haven't seen it.
I need to see that. You took mine. I love Open Range. That is a great example of a modern version of him, meaning, you know, he's older and he's out of his, you know, Godfather days or whatever. And he's just amazing in that. Man, Open Range is good. If you've never seen Open Range, see Open Range.
Yeah, and if you want just a little taste of this older Robert Duvall character that we're seeing in Phenomenon and other movies, he's got a choice little role in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Really good in that. And you think he's
Oh,
go ahead.
A couple of years ago, The Judge with Robert Downey Jr., he was really good in that.
Yeah, I heard the movie was kind of poop. But he was good in it, is what I heard.
Very predictable. I mean, it's exactly what you'd expect from watching the 2-minute trailer. Yeah. It's basically Robert Downey Jr., cocky young judge, has to go back and defend his dad in the hometown because his dad got drunk and hit another car, and cranky dad doesn't want him there and disowned him for being a cocky young judge. And you know, it's exactly, every single trope you'd expect, but it's comfort food.
Always a pleasure.
He's also extremely good in like The Road. He was really good mentioned Open Range, but he was even good in Deep Impact, which we've seen here on the show.
Mm. Oh, I forgot about that.
He's just good. And if you've never seen the original THX movie, the short film that George...
That was the first time I had seen Robert Duvall was in that.
Y'all should watch that again. It's cool, and he's so young, and it's weird to see him in that way, but yeah.
Right. I watched that before I had a decent attention span, and I couldn't sit through it, so I need to give that another shot.
Yeah, give it a shot. It's super weird.
It felt too science fiction-y for science fiction's sake when I watched it
agree.
I remember I went... George Lucas anything at the time. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it's definitely something that needs to be appreciated in a different light, but he's I don't know. I felt that way about 2001, The Space Odyssey, when I first saw it, and then later appreciated it. But at the time, I was like, what is this? Bunch of walking around and going, hey, Dave. I wasn't interested in that at the time. I needed space blazers and, you know, the swords made out of light and stuff is what I needed.
Right. I think the fact that Duvall is kind of the same in so many things, like we've talked about this infinity times, right? Like Steven Seagal or whoever, like they have this one thing they can do and they do it pretty well.
Yeah.
Except Seagal doesn't. But I think that's a really interesting subject for getting to the heart of what makes a good movie, because it's not just an actor becoming something they're not. It's an actor doing what you expect them to do precisely, and so you got to talk about direction and photography and all these other things. Mm-hmm. And I really liked Phenomenon.
Yeah, I do too. I'm glad to hear that I think we all probably are pretty okay with Phenomenon. I think it's I mean, it's a little on the nose sometimes with like, oh, we want you to feel this way and we want you to feel that way or whatever, and the movie came out in 96, right, you know, 2 years after Pulp Fiction. We now have a John Travolta whose star is back on the rise. He's in his rejuvenated career phase. And I remember at the time really quite liking it. And I think I'm a sucker for this. I'm a sucker for just a sprinkling of science fiction or fantasy thrown on top of my feel-good hometown drama comedy thing. Something about that.
Now, there are, I hope you agree with me that there are times this movie's too saccharine, right?
Oh, like for
it
sure.
gets a little too sweet.
Yeah.
Anytime you start hearing any mid 90s FM radio pop star like Aaron Neville or Jewel
Cheryl Crow. Such a good album, though. I mean, just.
It's got some good stuff. It reminded me of my early 20s in a way that I hadn't been reminded in a while in terms of pop music, but. It did remind me to go back and check out that Sheryl Crow Kid Rock song they did together.
Oh, yeah.
So good, that cover. Anyway, But it's I don't know, like, yes, saccharin for sure. Moments of like, oh boy. But also, I don't know, I miss movies like this. Another one for me was Powder. I loved Powder when it came out.
Well, it's funny, right? Because Tina, right, when we were watching this, Tina said, wait a minute, I thought this was the one about the kid who was like all white, like an albino. I said, no, that's Powder. Yeah. That was the weird science to this movie's real genius.
Yeah,
totally. I thought he was going to have angelic powers, and it took me a while to realize I was confusing Michael. It with Michael.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I was listening for the Tears in Heaven Eric Clapton song, but that was also Michael, wasn't it?
Remind me, wait, who was Michael?
This movie was going to be Look Who's Talking 4, because at the very beginning, the dog is on the porch and John Travolta's voice is narrating.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's funny.
Look who else is now talking also.
Look at our pet who's now talking. So, who played Michael? What was that? I don't remember that.
He was an angel. Yeah. He was the Archangel Michael. And
And
they had to go and investigate. I want to say it was Rene Russo. And
Didn't they go on a road trip in that one? Because I kept waiting for the road trip.
Andy McDowell and William Hurt.
Yeah.
Mm. No, there it is. Yeah, that movie I didn't like.
It's funny because it came out the same year as Phenomenon, and that's what makes it very easy to get those two confused and think of pieces of one being in the other. Because he was an angel. He had powers in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. Right. He had a little magic going on.
He didn't use them a lot. But he was like on tour, right? Didn't they like go on like a road trip or something like that? Yeah. And he only had so much time that he could be here, and then he was going to go away.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, well, that had a hell of a cast on there: Andy McDowell, William Hurt, Bob Hoskins. Good Lord, Gene Triplehorn.
So that movie is bad, and I think one of the many ways it's bad is it steers too hard into that believe in the magic skid. Whereas this movie, Phenomenon, actually, it plays it all very cool. Like, and that's what I was making fun of in my greeting. Like, if you found out you had anything like a supernatural power, you would be going nuts. Mm. You would be traveling. You know, you could not stop doing your magic trick with pencils. Like, they wouldn't be able to get you away from a pencil and so on. You know,
it's funny that you focus on the telekinesis and not like, you know, oh, I'm going to invent a new internal combustion engine that doesn't use gasoline and doesn't give off any sort of emissions or something like that.
But that's what I'm talking about. That was all stuff that seems a little bit realistic. The movie isn't begging you to believe in severe magic. It's just like you can understand when you find out, oh, it was just because he had a tumor all along. Sorry, folks. Spoilers if you haven't watched it. Watch the movie before you listen to the podcast.
Right, exactly. What are you doing?
Too late now, but yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? When you find out that there's
he had a tumor the whole time. Oh, watch the show before you listen to us. The order was a little mixed up there, but that's fine.
But you know what I'm saying? There's not too much dependence on magic in this movie, and that's what I like about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what I like too, but I also like the idea that it's a little, like you mentioned saccharin before, the idea that there's somebody who's just this happy-go-lucky guy who now has all these abilities, this brain of expanded power and use, and he can memorize these languages in no time and read these books in two or three a day and just tear through this stuff and then not be selfish about it, not be... I'm the most powerful person in the world. Now I can go places.
He doesn't go broccoli on us.
Yeah, he doesn't go broccoli. Right. Well, and I was actually
calling him the Traveler. I was also making a Next Generation.
Go ahead. No. I'm about to go into a different direction. Go ahead.
All
right. Well, anyway, in Next Generation, there's a character called the Traveler who shows up and starts sharing found powers with Wesley, and then Wesley becomes a god, especially in the books, in the Next Generation books. Wesley has become a traveler.
Yeah, they have books. Yes. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew they had books. On. I knew they had books. I didn't know they had traveler, like more traveler lore. Yeah. I had no idea.
That was like the central story. That was like, besides the Q storyline, that was like the central storyline of the whole Next Generation.
I had no idea that they had
overall,
books.
Overall arc.
And that guy, didn't he only have like two fingers and a thumb or something? That's my memory of that guy.
I thought he was the one also that was responsible for introducing them to the Borg, right?
Right.
It's plenty enough to scratch your butt. Did you say that, Dunaway?
Oh, no. Q was the one who introduced them to the Borg.
Oh, right.
Sent them into
Borgtown.
That's true.
Borgtown.
Sent them into Borgtown. I'm taking the red eye out of Borgtown.
But I think the fact that he, I think this was at least is a smart idea. The movie's a smart idea. The character, the writer who did these characters, smart. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that Travolta's character's desire is just to have a simple hometown love and a hometown life. He's happy. He is extremely happy where he's at. Yet he is finding that he's been gifted this talent that's gonna take him further than he wanted to go. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. And so he's gonna kind of reel it in a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I think that's true. I mean, let's get to the director of this thing. Michael Turtletaub.
Turtletaub. You know Turtletaub.
Yeah.
We've had Turtletaub on here before.
We have.
Oh, have we?
He did National Treasure.
National Treasure.
National Treasure 2. He produced the third one, but didn't direct the third one. He also did Cool
the
Runnings.
Kid?
Like, think of the feel goods he's done here. Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
While You Were Sleeping. The Kid with Bruce Willis, the one that was there. Very similar.
Very emotional. Very sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Jericho.
Last Vegas was a few years ago with De Niro. And
oh, right.
It was
all the old guys.
Bucket list for Vegas.
Yeah.
Did
totally.
Did we watch The Sorcerer's Apprentice on this one?
No.
Did we do
no,
that?
No. I saw it in theaters and disliked it.
How
greatly.
Many? Well, wait, are you doing another movie podcast on us, Dunaway, not telling us?
No.
This
I
one.
I remember seeing it, but I wasn't sure if we watched it for this or if I watched it on my own. Just didn't seem like I would have went out and seen it on my own.
It's Nicolas Cage? Why haven't we watched it? And Alfred Molina?
I don't
Molina?
Think it's been streaming. Yeah.
Oh.
So it's probably John Travolta, not Nicolas Cage, because the face is off. They did a little face off there.
The face is off.
The face is off, everybody. He's filming something called Meg, and he's also did one episode of the pilot episode of this new Rush Hour TV adaptation of the movie Rush Hour series thing, which I don't know who's in that. It's not, obviously it isn't.
It's not Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan.
I don't know, but Meg was not the movie I thought it was at all. This is when a submersible lies disabled at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. An expert deep sea diver is forced to confront his fears and risk everything. Could the Megalodon still be alive?
Wow. It's a Megalodon.
Meg I is thought short it was going to be a Megalodon. Sweet little story about a lady named Meg. It ends up being Megalodon.
That's kind of cool. Just so everyone knows, the Jackie Chan character will be played by somebody named Justin Hires. Sorry, that's the black guy. That's for the other dude. And then John Fu is your Jackie Chan.
John Fu, yeah. Everybody knows John Fu.
I don't know.
Good,
John
good to
Fu.
See they're not gonna mess with that dynamic.
You guys, I have a black belt in John Fu. I'll have you know.
I have a bit of a trivia question for you guys. All right. Hands off your keyboards.
All right.
I'm gonna name four movies that have come out in the last 3 years. All of them. I want you to tell me what they have in common. Here's the names of the four movies.
All right.
Okay. Hands off your keyboards. The All Forger, right. Criminal Activities, I Am Wrath, and Killing Season.
Oh, I got it. I know
all
what
of
it is.
Them. All of them have abysmally low ratings and scores.
Okay,
including The Forger at 7%. The Forger, Criminal Activities, I Am Wrath, and Killing Season. What do they have in common?
I got the answer.
What is
They're
it?
All movies I have not seen.
Movies that have not been in my kitchen. Are they John Travolta's movies?
Yes.
Since,
These are the last four John Travolta movies.
Really?
Well, good. You know what? This leads into what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
All right.
Because I'm going to say something here that I don't know how controversial it's going to be, but it's. I've been thinking about this a lot, especially after watching this and especially after watching The People versus O.J. Simpson, which features John Travolta as Robert Shapiro in comedy scenes whenever he's on screen.
Okay.
In an unintentional comedy scene. I don't think John Travolta is a good actor.
Let's do this.
I think that
you expected
Saturday
to be controversy?
Fever,
well, I mean,
yeah, I kind of did.
I do too. He's been
well
nominated
as like an A-lister. I think that he does one thing really well, and that happened to be the one thing that he used for both Saturday Night Fever and for Pulp Fiction. And
both
this
movies
movie,
he was nominated for Oscars for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And exactly. And I think you could take those exact characters. George Malley in this film could be Vincent Vega, who somehow didn't die from Bruce Willis's bullet in in Pulp Fiction and went to a small town and did this. Like, it could be the same character because he's got the range. His range is not wide.
I'll say you're probably right. I mean, there's times I find him charming and interesting, but that doesn't mean you're wrong. The range is still pretty short.
His delivery is always exaggerated and.
This is why I said this is going to be the topic of this show, because everything in the movie you could describe this way. Kira Sedgwick plays Kira Sedgwick. In fact, I enjoyed imagining that it was Kira Sedgwick, the actress who was being bothered by this bumpkin all the time and really wanted him to just leave Kira Sedgwick alone.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. I'm going to get Kevin Bacon on you.
I'm going to be the closer if you don't watch it. Hey, the blonde son, he's the kid that kept barfing on Super 8, by the way.
Is he really?
Yeah, I tracked this kid down.
He must be much older, because...
Well, a little bit. 96.
Tell me you agree, every time Forrest Whitaker spoke, you kind of felt like it was just Forrest Whitaker. Like, that's how he is.
Well, right. Except maybe without the Diana Ross obsession. That even got a little... A little tiresome. I enjoyed the movie, but there were some aspects of it that did get a little tiresome.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to defend Travolta just a little bit and say that I think he is charismatic, and I think that he, even in his extremes, he still is believable. And it may just be a little bit odd, but I think that he still delivers a believable performance. So I'm going to say his acting is not bad.
I'm going to say it's just not. No, I don't think that's what you're saying. I mean, you did say he's a bad actor.
He's a bad actor. I'm saying he's not a good actor.
Yeah, there's no range.
A mediocre actor. I think you're right. I think he has moments where he steps above when he really buys into the character. But overall, I think he can step into a lot of roles and play them competently. Mm-hmm. But to excel, he's only done that a few times.
And to be fair, I think that this is, if I'm putting all his movies up and saying which ones I think he really, you know, did work in, I think this is one of them. Like, even though it feels like we are kind of seeing John Travolta when he's at his happiest, but it's just John Travolta.
I think it still feels good.
I liked it, you know.
Right. And I think that I think the things that he's pushing through here is a little bit of what people believe, which is that this movie is, you know, Scientology propaganda, even though I don't believe that's why this was created. I don't believe that the writer and the director had anything to do with that. I think that some of the things that Travolta believes as a Scientologist bled through and probably attracted him to this story.
Oh, interesting.
I think that because of that, maybe he was a little more genuine in his delivery. I'm agree with you. I think this is one of his better performances.
I would agree.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it's when he's playing characters that are kind of everyman-ish, but a little bit dumb, like Tony Manero, Vincent Vega, George Malley, at least in the beginning, they're not, you know, maniacal supervillains. And that's kind of, I'm really bummed we didn't get to watch Swordfish, because I feel like my point would be so underscored by his performance. But I mean, yeah, you look at Battlefield Earth, and you look at Broken Arrow, which we've watched here on TMS or on Film Sack. What show are we doing?
Film Sack, that's the one. Film Sack, and what was the other one we did? The Punisher, 2004 Punisher, he was the baddie in that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And when he's playing that bad one, Face Off, of course, when he's playing a bad guy, it just feels so strained, and like he does the Joey Tribbiani make the look like somebody farted thing.
Right.
The Joey Tribbiani soap opera school, make it, you know, look, pause and look like you're smelling somebody else's fart and then continue with your line.
That is happening. The taking of Pelham 313 or where the hell it was called, a more recent one. I think it was Tony Scott's second to last movie. I really like that movie, but he's doing it again. You're totally right. He just does that in every villain role, which is unfortunate.
I want to return to the Scientology thing real quick, because I investigated it while preparing for this episode.
Good. Okay.
And Brian Dunaway, I agree with you completely. Looking into this thing, it looks like one of the things that really attracted Travolta to it was the story reminding him of his own beliefs. Mm-hmm. But Turteltaub is practicing Jewish.
Right.
Turteltaub is a pretty big like political activist and has nothing to do with Scientology and has never, according to everything I could find. And also, when you start thinking about the movie, if all you do is look for Scientology, you will find it. But If you look for Christianity, like references to the Christian Bible, there's ton more of those, I think.
Right.
And and that is that like that you go, okay, well, this is all over the place. You know, a Jewish director and Scientologist lead managed to make a Jesus allegory. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're saying that Look Who's Talking is more of a Scientology film than phenomenon.
I like that a lot. Absolutely. That's I love that. That's amazing.
Absolutely. I'm saying that. Everybody knows that.
That's incredible. All right. So, even if he was attracted to the powers of George as, oh, hey, this aligns with my belief system, you'd think that would make him unhappy that the whole thing just, oh, it's just a tumor? Well, shit. It's not some alien overlord that's like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't actually adhere in the end.
And by the way, that isn't as plainly spelled out as you might think.
Mm.
Especially if you haven't seen the movie, if you're just hearing about this sort of plot twist, I feel like you are still left with a sense of, but was it, could it, but like, if you just say the event that gives him his powers is actually all in his head, he sees lights because finally this thing is happening in his brain.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If you just summarize it that way, fine. But it didn't have to be like you can still believe in some of the fun of this movie.
The tumor was placed there, or the manipulation, and it's killing him. Yeah. I mean, I've seen plenty of people continue the argument that they believe that there's a large question. I felt when I finished the movie that the answer was there. It was, you know, it was just part of nature, and, you know, he had a tumor and it affected him differently. And, you know, evolution jumps and leaps and bounds sometimes. And
well, this movie portrays him as deciding when to die. Like, what?
Right. Yeah.
Which was totally freaky as crap. I'm going away now. Not on my arm. You're not. Get off, man.
I'm not dying until I've had sex with Kevin Bacon's wife. That's the deal.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Talk about the slow play from her. Oh my God. I wouldn't. Right. Smart or dumb. Wouldn't you have given up on her? Like, weeks before.
This movie hates that character. That was probably my biggest complaint.
Yeah.
Was that she is portrayed as miserably as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of fleshing her out and giving her good reasons up front that we all understand for why she is how she is, she's instead this mean enigma. And I didn't appreciate that at all.
Her flaw was intentional to enhance, you know, Travolta's character. It was the flaw of her not being able to accept someone who is going through great change really put her really up against him, and it really
I thought they just undercooked it.
It was good storytelling.
It was okay. They just was a little bit undercooked in terms of her backstory. But also she made really good hippie chairs, and that was cool. I like that.
Dude, the movie make you want to get into chair making or at least chair owning?
Yeah.
It did. I don't think I'd use a car garage / gas station to sell them, but whatever. You gotta get your consignment where you can get it. Here's the thing about the power stuff. I just wanted to mention this real quick. There's a part of me. If you study enough about particle physics and the origin,
quantum theory.
Yeah, and quantum theory and where you know what atoms are and where they are and how they interact and everything else and why a table stays a table and doesn't just fall apart into a bunch of particles and why other particles do fall apart and just dissipate as gas or whatever, you start
turn into particle board.
You just start
wet rain.
But you start studying that stuff, and there's real science out there. It's easy to want to make a connection, like. There are, you know, theories, and again, they're just theories, but there are theories that the only thing holding us back from being able to control other matter with our matter are, you know, important walls that are there that block us from doing that, but it's not like the craziest, most out there theory in the world
you're talking too fast.
Well, it's like... it's like this. It's like a magnet and a piece of metal.
Well, what does that have to do with intelligence?
It doesn't.
I had such a big problem with that. Is like, oh, he's super smart. Now he can move stuff with his mind.
You're totally right. Related. And that was going to be where I was going with this. The idea that those two things separately is interesting, right? Like separately, it's like, oh, super intelligence. He made making that engine and that kind of stuff. That was really...
Right. He unlocked the portion of his brain that he wasn't using or whatever. So for storing all this stuff that he read. And...
Sure. Or he's just like, you know, like people that are the savants or, you know, some certain people on the autistic scale can do incredible things. They can hear a symphony and immediately repeat it on a piano. Perfect keys and stuff. Like, that feels like magic, yet we know what's going on there, right? We have some evidentiary stuff to say, well, okay, well, their brain is different and the way that they're processing information is different, and that has, you know, advantages and disadvantages and blah, blah, blah. That's always really interesting to me. The break for me is you kind of got to go one or the other. You don't get to have both those superpowers.
And the one, by the way, should be the intellect.
Yeah.
That you steer toward, because, for example, you know, Insane Clown Posse notwithstanding, just a couple centuries ago, there were people who were absolutely mesmerized by magnets. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And a few centuries before that, the tides, and a few centuries before that, things like eclipses and so on. And there's probably still people out there who are absolutely amazed by these things. The difference between then and now is understanding, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a much greater deal of knowledge. And so if you were going to go back and make a movie 200 years ago about magnets and eclipses, you would be amazing people with what you knew, not what you could do with a pencil.
Right.
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 You know, this writer who did this, and I think as a result, the director and the actors, I think they all got it. But I think that the writer is such a great character writer that the character stayed so true to themselves that some of the things did get complicated for us to accept as an audience, like him trying to, you know, he had no real direction for what he was learning. He was just kind of groping around. But his desire, he was amazed by the fact that he was able to learn anything. And kind of like everyday individuals, we get on the internet and we just start researching everything and we become kind of pseudo experts in just about everything. And so I think that was well played as far as character development goes. But I'm hearing you guys say that far as the story goes, it kind of fell apart for you guys.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
By the way, really same, focusing on that part.
Yeah.
The writer is a guy named Gerald DePego.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who also wrote The Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Oh.
Yes, which is one of the best.
Trial of the Incredible Hulk is actually kind of super entertaining.
Is that the one with us? That's the one where Thor is the lawyer that defends him?
I don't think so, is it?
No, yeah, I think so. Thor is the judge. And he's got
explains the gavel. Big, heavy gavel.
Right.
What? Mjolnir, the gavel? That's amazing. Right, yeah. All right.
Are you sure? I thought Thor was in that one.
I don't think
so. Wilson Fisk is John Rhys-Davies is Wilson. Oh, no, it's Matt Murdock. Daredevil is the...
Yeah, duh. Of course. Come on. There you go.
Well,
I thought the Hulk was in one of these.
Yeah, you need a blind judge or a blind lawyer.
No, a blind attorney. Lawyer.
Yeah, blind attorney is always
which
a smart
Which is the one
idea.
that had Thor in it? Death of the Incredible Hulk? That also was written by
this
guy.
I think you might be right. That might be Death of the Incredible Hulk.
Why aren't we watching that sometime? We gotta watch
I don't
that.
Know. We need to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. We should definitely watch The Trial of the Incredible Hulk next time we get a chance.
Yeah,
one of our little TV specials.
Well, that's a two-hour movie. We could watch that as a regular movie.
So
that's true.
So, by the way, speaking of your, I don't want to get conspiratorial here, but your connection to Scientology, this movie was released literally on Tom Cruise's 34th birthday.
Whoa, praise Xenu.
This goes out praise. You, Tom Cruise.
Here you go, Tom Cruise. It's your day, buddy.
Like Cruise hadn't seen it all along throughout the creation of the film. You could just tell he was just offset.
Yeah, but look at 90. I mean, look at
back and forth to see this.
But look at 96. What a year for Brent Spiner. It was released not only the same year, but the same day as Independence Day. Yeah.
So this was the
other movie that came out that day. And in both of them had Brent Spiner in what I would say are movie stealing roles. I think the most fun this movie had for me was the Brent Spiner scene.
Sure.
I loved it. It cracked me up hardcore. I have a huge clip from that whole setup later.
Which is funny because there are times where it almost seems like if I were trying to convince somebody that I was smart, I would use the tactics, the stall tactics that man or woman. Well, a man or woman, what do you mean man or woman? Like, you know, how old would they be? I can understand the, you know, what day of the year, because is it before now or after now would dictate their age or even the time zone.
Yeah.
But man or woman, what? You're stalling. Shut up. Give me an answer.
Yeah. I felt like Brent Spiner was a little spineless, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sean Penn, Ed Harris, and Jason Patrick were all considered for the role. Do we believe it?
Somebody threw a dartboard at popular actors of 1996, saw those names and said they were probably considered.
Who worries about the Dr. Bob character? I mean, come on.
What do you mean, Dr.
Why is that trivia? Isn't that what we're talking about?
No, for the lead role. Sean Penn, Ed Harris, and Jason Patrick. Remember, these guys were much younger in 96, so they could have all totally...
Jason Patrick is kind of a surprise because his Lost Boys shine had definitely waned.
Oh, that's right.
I can see him doing it. Sean Penn is just not... He's just not caring enough.
Are you saying
to play this?
Are you saying Speed 2 didn't do it for Jason Patrick?
Speed 2 is not the star maker that I think he was hoping.
But let's give Scott credit for what he's doing here. Yes, that is just a list of names. Like 10 years ago, it would have been Owen Wilson. 5 years ago, it would have been Shia LaBeouf. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just names of people who were popular at the time.
Yeah,
Zac Efron and. And Jesse Eisenberg were both considered for this role.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I don't like that. Timberlake. I really don't like that. Like, I wish there's no fact checking with IMDb trivia. No. It drives me freaking nuts. So I had to find my own. Like, finding out the Super 8 barfing kid was the blonde son, Al, which is a terrible name for a kid, by the way. Don't name your kid Al.
Oh, the kids' names were horrible. What was it like?
Al and Prudy.
Al and
Patootie or something. What was her name?
Yeah, it was weird. Her name was weird, too, because her name is Lace. Her children's name are Al and Cindy. I don't remember.
I don't remember what it was. It was something like that.
Glory.
Nah, Glory.
I'll tell you.
That was Glory. That's it.
This film phenomenon has some of the most adorable trivia written by people who are really fond of Auburn, California.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
If you know anything about Auburn, California,
written by the tourist board of Auburn, California.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Read that one that talks about how people flock there to this day because of this movie.
Right. Oh my god.
That is such
bullcrap. Is this where they film Phenomenon? Oh, that's the window where we saw Robert Duvall's butt.
Yeah, this is amazing. I'm coming here every year.
Go sniff the window.
That's pretty stupid. I mean, I like the town. I like the town they use. It's fine. It's very idyllic and whatever. It was filmed nicely and there was some decent cinematography for a movie that's not really needing it.
I had the first 5 minutes of this movie is like every wallpaper I had for Windows 98. I mean, you could have still snapped any of those and would have been the wallpaper I had for Windows 98.
Oh my god, that's so true.
And by the way, while we're talking about alternate casting, I just want to thank everyone involved in making this movie. Mm. And I realize this is just because it reminded me a tiny bit of Broken Arrow, but thank you so much for not casting Christian Slater in the lead. Oh my god.
Oh, you can totally see
it. Whitaker character?
Whitaker.
No, as the main character.
John Travolta. Christian Slater is the main.
Slater would have made me hate this movie from beginning to end. And somehow I never fully hated John Travolta. Even when he goes nuts with a hoe in the garden, I never fully hated him.
Oh, you mean earlier, not near the end.
Not Kira Sedgwick in the
hoe.
He was hoeing aggressively.
Why was there a maniac hoeing torture scene in this movie?
So you could juxtapose that to the piece he found by swaying with the
tree. Yeah, the tree breathing. Here's the thing, though. I get that. He hadn't slept, right? Like, he is someone who's not sleeping very well lately. Because I need to take a break from the world and its poo. So, but it's keeping me up. So I'm up a lot. And that feeling of like, I just want to break stuff and hoe stuff. I feel that way sometimes. I get it.
I just want to hoe something,
you know, get out there and put a hoe to it.
I haven't seen an angry hoe scene like that since Pretty Woman.
Nice. Well done. Well said.
Oh, that was like probably the thing I had the most trouble with dealing with. I could deal with him, you know, elevating to the point that he could use his mind to manipulate, you know, or negotiate a deal with objects so he could rotate it around and stuff. My problem was that he wasn't sleeping at all. Mm-hmm. And I just know that's physically, humanly not possible.
It's possible, but it will ruin you. You will die. Yeah.
Right.
You
can't. Not for that time amount that he went.
No, you need it.
Right. Because it was like,
it's bad. The people who have real insomnia, like those, I feel my heart is full for them. Because it is so, so freaking bad. So this thing, okay, now one of the things I liked about it is also something that sticks out to me. So I want to get opinions on this. So here we are talking about some social important thing here. This appears to be, and I remember feeling this way when I saw it, and it made me happy, to be one of the most diverse and sort of friendly, generally speaking, communities ever. You got your bar drunk people, you got your black guy friend, you got your broad, diverse bunch of folks.
Your small town,
Pomali, and
but unlike most small towns that are just 100% white, this seemed to have, you know, this seemed to have a nice, diverse sort of thing going
on. Well, had one African American.
It did, had at least one, and I remember
Portuguese,
taking
Spanish speaking.
Oh yeah, Colombian.
Oh yeah, the guy from Mexico and the Portuguese. Yeah, so they really mixed, and nobody noticed it from that point. Like that was never like it was like Star Trek. You're her as a black lady helping run the ship, and you're never supposed to think about it. You're supposed to just go, oh, well, this is great. Like, Russians are here? Sweet. Like, you just don't, you're not supposed to. And that's, I liked that, but I'm a weird, naive optimist about such things. So I wonder if when others see this, they just go, trying to shove that down my throat. I don't need your diversity training. Like, I wonder about that. Because I see it and get hearted. I feel good about that. I say, this is what I want in my movies. And it's not on the nose other than it's there.
I didn't notice it at all. So that's a good thing.
I think that's a good thing. Yeah. So anyway, just something I always think about.
I did keep waiting for one thing that never happened in this movie. This movie ended up being very optimistic, but kind of a little bit melancholy, but it was very optimistic. And I kept waiting for one of his Travolta's friend at the garage, who's a little bit stupid. I kept waiting for him to do something.
Okay, the guy his age, not the Hispanic guy. Okay.
Right. I kept waiting for him to do something that just, you know, that really just destroyed everything. I just kept waiting for him to do something stupid, like call the FBI and get him called or something.
Yeah.
But it never happened.
Kind of did that in the bar when they were ripping him apart.
A little bit.
Duvall had to.
A little bit.
Duvall's bartending skills, spectacular. Being able to get a beer glass to go all the way down the bar, hit every other glass on the way down, and still make it all the way down to the end.
Never do a bowling bet with Robert Duvall.
No, not with Robert Duvall.
No. He'll play dumb and all, but then he'll get strikes every time.
Then I'll show you his butt.
I want to come back to this thing, Scott, because I think that construction of a small town with a bar where everybody goes and they're all diverse and they're all happy. I think that's a sort of memory thing. Like, older people want to look back in life and have had that.
Yeah.
And in your memory, because there was only one black guy, like, you put him there, you know, but you don't necessarily count all the white people because they're the majority in there and they're kind of all run together.
Sure.
This kind of thing. And for some reason, it reminded me of this quote from Garden State. Mm. Now, Garden State is full of young adult nonsense. Like, well, this is deep. I'm going to say this thing that sounds deep.
Yeah. The Zach Braff movie you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. But his character at some point starts reminiscing about the idea of home, how you grow up in a place and it's your home and then you leave and then you can never have it again. And maybe your parents move somewhere else or whatever. And even if you go back to the same place, it's not the same. And then you have a place where you put all your stuff, but it's not really home. Like, you've lost that concept forever. And he ends with this thought that that even when you start your own family, you're starting a cycle for someone else. It's not ever going to be your home in your memory. Mm-hmm. And so he says, maybe all a family is a group of people that miss the same imaginary place. And I don't know why that just popped into my head, because like these so many movies are like this, where they give you this sense of something that no one has ever actually experienced in reality. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's how we're trying to all remember the small town we grew up in.
I think it's that. I think part of it too is I think people want that though. Like, I want that. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always said, I've always made this joke that if I could have a best friend that I could hang out with on weekends, he would be black, dwarf, and gay.
Wow, what a joke, Scott.
Woo. No, I mean, not the joke, but I mean it more as a symbol, because my point is I want the most possible diverse friend.
Right.
So and I don't have that
because
guy.
Because it would, the person that would be, you know, like the yin to your yang, right? The opposite of tall, white,
And that he and I could do things together that would be mutually like beneficial. Like
I want
would
to see this TV show, Perfect Strangers for the modern day.
Exactly, I'm visualizing the theme music and the opening montage right away. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I want a gay black.
By the way, Scott Warwick in black.
I want a gay black dwarf. Gay black dwarf.
It's
going to
be the guy from Bad Santa.
Ooh, even better. I love that guy. What's his name?
That guy's great.
But by the way, Scott, I actually take this to heart because one of the things I feel like you may have missed out on a little bit, or people around you may have missed out on a little bit, is the experience when you go to college and you go somewhere different and there's this diverse range of opinions that you're suddenly dealing with and everybody's new and different. Well, you live in a place where people go to college right down the street and they don't really ever get that, you know, that big broadening sensation and then the memories of that, you know,
well,
the memories
if
of,
they're going if they live in Provo maybe, but like if you go to the University of Utah, you are suddenly confronted with it's almost more rebellious because of that. So what you're describing has that school has a reputation for very I can't think of the word people that are very sort of socially like, whoa, hold on, let's go against the norms. And, you know, they work harder at it because it is a relatively, you know, not closed mind is not the right word, but it's a sheltered community. And it tends to be even, they rebel even harder there than they would in a more diverse community where they just accept it. It's kind of like what I'm saying. I'm going to extremes here to say I want a dwarven black gay friend. Well, that's an extreme sounding thing for me to ask for, which is like, hey, somebody get the white guy, the most diverse little person you can find. Like it's that's kind of how they behave there. So I don't know if that's entirely true, but I understand what you're saying. I understand.
And
what you mean.
And this movie is the worst possible white perspective, where the white guy, the whitest guy in town, literally becomes God. And that black guy, Forrest Whitaker, is just lucky to be in his presence.
There is a little bit of that. Yeah.
It was kind of interesting how they had to play that. As a writer, they had to write something that made Travolta smarter than everyone else, but not smarter than the audience. So instead of bringing Travolta above the audience's level, where we wouldn't be able to understand him or relate to him, they just brought everybody else down and made them a little bit more stupid.
Yes.
And it was an interesting look, because there was several times I'm like, Forrest Whitaker says stuff, I'm like, man, you're not that dumb. Come on.
No, exactly. And I mean, even the stuff that John Travolta does, once he's got his intelligence, there's some dumb things he does, like going to the park, the library event thing, and having the whole thing of books. Hey, these are books I've read. It's inviting a mob mentality.
Right,
and for a supposedly a smart guy, he sure does some dumbass things.
Which is a, I don't know, there's a lesson in that probably somewhere.
Right, yeah. You know? Right. I want to make sure we cover two things here. Number one, we're going to get to what grossed Scott out in just a second.
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah. But favorite, round the table, favorite suddenly smart movie or TV show?
We can trope alert that because it is a trope.
Yeah,
for sure.
The suddenly smart trope alert.
Yeah,
sure.
The suddenly smart is also my least favorite.
For the Algernon trope.
My least favorite sitcom in 1995 was Suddenly Smart. But anyway, let's keep going. let me ask that question. Can we include TV or just movies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, please say Barkley and Star Trek.
that is a really good one.
That's a good one.
While you guys are thinking about it, I'll give you mine, right, since obviously I've had time to think about this.
Yeah.
It's Limitless.
Yes. Oh, come on. You should have let me go first. All right.
Now, did you ever watch the TV show, Randy?
Yes. The TV show. Yes.
Okay. It was great. It was really well done. They had a really likable guy as the main character, and it's a bummer it didn't make it past one season, but it was really well done.
Okay. Yeah. And as far as the movie goes, Bradley Cooper is perfect.
Yeah.
For this
role.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's the Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, the old Disney movie.
Oh yeah.
With what's his name? Joe. What's his name?
Kurt Russell.
Thank you, Kurt Russell.
Jimmy. Bob. Jimmy.
He was. I don't remember the exact storyline, but that was the idea: is that he got something weird in his Cheerios and he became super smart.
Really?
Yeah, it was something like that. Or maybe I'm confusing it with his Invisible movie he made for Disney, where he ate his Cheerios and became invisible. I don't remember. Somebody ate Cheerios and became
invisible
smart.
Man wore tennis shoes?
Yeah, something like that. Right. But I remember as a kid thinking how cool it would be to suddenly have all these smarts and mm-hmm. be the smartest guy ever and all that.
That's good. That's yeah. a very good one.
All right.
Every time I just kind of keep going back. The only thing that's ever affected me as much is got to be the Wizard of Oz when Scarecrow suddenly gets his diploma.
Oh yeah.
And starts
equals MC squared. Yeah. The hypotenuse of the right angle of the, yeah.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
I like that one. Randy, what's your alternate to?
Did you come up with a second one?
Alternate? There's one of the Hangover movies. Zach Galifianakis suddenly gets smart for a minute.
Really?
Wow.
And it's become
like hit on the head or something?
The drug,
it's
right?
become a it's meme like a where you'll yeah. see a gif of him in his mind, and he's like doing beautiful mind calculations.
Right.
And so I really like it. I just really like it when it's a joke. When somebody... you know, being revealed to have such powers is the worst.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a whole category in IMDb called movies about unconventional superpowers. Number one is Limitless. Number two is Phenomenon. These are ranked by score. Then Chronicle, Jumper, Liar, Liar. Liar, Liar is a fair one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Okay.
That's close to a modern one of these. You know, let's make sure we also 1998 or 99 whenever yeah. Liar Liar came out.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's make sure we also name the worst movie about someone suddenly getting powers, and that is Lucy, and that is a horrible film.
Oh, that right? You think it's horrible? I don't.
I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful film, but really,
it's a beautiful art film.
I love. It's listen, not, we're not yeah. going to talk smack about Luc Besson because that guy makes really interesting things and I really need his new movie to be good, so I'm gonna I've avoided Valerian. Lucy yeah, right. I didn't see Lucy because I want to be fresh and see Valerian without any kind of like bad good. feelings. So
good because yeah. Lucy sucked.
You gotta go in and, you gotta and it go based in on the accepting. Premise
of it bases on a premise that's been proven to be incorrect about that we only use 10% of our brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we unlock the other 90%, then we're all of a sudden going to be brilliant.
And it was released after that scientific discovery or proved
right.
fact that we don't, that right. thing is fact. And that kind of pisses me off just a little bit. Just a little mm-hmm. bit. Unbreakable's on this list. Push, Bedazzled. Oh, whatever.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well,
it's unconventional power, so that's different than
mm-hmm. yeah.
It's smart.
Granted by the devil, whatever.
All right, Scott's gross moment. Who's got the theory?
Oh yeah, Randy, you sounded pretty sure.
Oh, I just have to go first so we can get the butt cheeks out of the way. Scott,
here's the theme. That's the theme. Okay, go ahead. What?
Scott can't see somebody's butt crack and not go.
You're not wrong that it wouldn't be on the list, but it is not the grossest moment right. for me.
I think I know.
Okay.
I don't think Scott has the ability to watch people consume an apple as they pass it around to one another.
Right, yeah. From one person yeah. to another. Right. The shared sloppy, drippy, yeah.
You just bit Scott that apple.
Sorry, I was trying to say.
Oh, I was afraid we'd lost Scott. He was looking for a sound.
I was going to say, congratulations, you've done it. It was him. Everyone passing around an apple is freaking gross. Don't do that. Anyone, right.
I guess it was going to be that scene where Kyra Sedgwick has to give her her mentally handicapped uncle a shave.
Right. See, as much as I hate that scene, I also love those kind of scenes in movies. When they replace... when they replace a flat-out sex scene with something like that, it's always sure. I enjoyed that a lot.
Do you like
more.
Ghost? Like, you like Ghost when he's
I love Ghost. Yeah. Those right. kind of things. That wasn't there in something replacement like that in
Witness?
Of sex.
Witness, had, yeah. Well, no, Witness was her actually getting undressed and him peeping on her.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to see Kelly McGillis
nipple.
Moments.
Those
yeah.
those quiet moments between men and women and just intimate, but not sexual necessarily. But
it's fine. Like that.
The refrigerator scene?
That was that was
the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, that was Crystal Skull. So the music was that Aaron Neville song during the shave, right? Am I thinking of that right?
Aaron Neville's cover of Van Morrison's Crazy Love.
Oh, that's right.
Crazy Love.
I didn't know that was a cover. Once again, you have once again done that.
A lot of people
have
covered Crazy Love too. That's a popular one to redo.
Yeah, yeah. And they also played that. I was speaking to Sheryl Crow, that one song that we all were sick of.
Every Day is a Winding Road?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one that on the radio you're like.
Winding Road or Winding Road?
Well, yeah. Winding Road. Every Day is a Winding Road.
I was not sick of that.
A lot of people, I like her a lot. Don't get me wrong. I don't want this to be a Sheryl Crow problem because I like her a great deal.
I'm more sick of All I Want to Do Is Have Some Fun than I am of that song, because Neil Finn was involved with Every Day Is a Winding Road. That's him doing backup vocals.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Once again, look at the music trivia coming off of you. You're like you're like the dandruff on an old man. It's amazing. I love it.
I have a running playlist, like a playlist that I listen to when I go running. And the first song that you crank up in your ears when you go running is important, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like sometimes it's Aerosmith, but often it's the Sheryl Crow song Real Gone.
That's a good song.
And it's awesome for running.
It is. Mm. It's really good. I like her a lot. Is she still now? She's probably still making things, and I haven't been paying attention. Right? Like that's one of those deals.
She's been on.
She made a bunch of country music. She made a bunch of country music straight up. She did like a residency in Nashville or something. But she's got a new album coming out in a couple of months that they're already calling a return to her '90s sound.
Okay, I'm in. I like her.
This is the Be Myself. She's also got a duets album coming out with Don Henley, Stevie Nicks, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, Keith Richards, and Vince Gill.
Wow. Now, does she have to check all of their IVs while she's making the music? Or?
Yes, she does. By herself.
Because she's the young one in that group. She's like 53 or something, but that she's super young compared to the rest of those guys.
She dated Eric Clapton for a while, didn't she? I'm trying to look and see.
She dated everybody.
Yeah.
Well, she dated Owen Wilson for a while.
Yeah. She didn't like that
Lance
nose.
Lance Armstrong, of course.
It's like, fix the nose. He's like, I don't know if I want to fix the nose.
What's wrong with my nose?
What's wrong with my nose? There's nothing wrong with my nose. My brother's getting cooler movies than me.
It's funny. I don't see on her Wikipedia page anything about Eric Clapton, but I know that she dated him for a while.
I just did the worst Owen Wilson impression I've ever done.
Well, you just have to sound like a typical white guy. Like try to sound like a black guy trying to sound like a white guy.
Well, you've also got to like over enunciate and
your broken nose makes you say things weird. See, I can't do it.
You're Canadian.
Yeah, I guess.
We're going to workshop that one.
Yeah, we're going to work on that one. That's fine. Yeah. Let's see. Where's this? Oh, I didn't remember the part where he snuck out of the hospital. For some reason, that completely was new to me in this viewing. I forgot he'd pretended to be the stoner.
By overdosing. Who knows if you're supposed to take three of those sleepy pills simultaneously?
He read a book.
Yeah, it was in a book.
It's in a book.
I give him up to three of these pills and he won't get
it'll be overdosed. Why are you going to touch my pills?
My doctor books.
How is it taking us this long to do the Travolta voice?
Hey, why you got to touch my hair? I work really hard on it.
On my hair. And then I don't think this movie knew how kids work. I wanted to mention that.
Like, or how haircuts on kids work.
That too, but also just like kids, when a movie does kids right, I'm just like, oh man, well done. Cause you're really thinking about it. But once in a while you'll see a movie and the way the kids dialogue or the things the children do, it's not kids behavior at all. Like him running out and standing by the fence and looking off into the distance is something a 16-year-old girl does. Not a 7-year-old kid. They don't do that. That's just not kid behavior. So I wish they would spend more time thinking about what kids actually do in these situations. They were fine kids, good actors, you know, decent little kids.
I think I'm agree with you. The only characters that did not seem to act in line of what they should were the kids. The adults seemed to be spot on and true to themselves, but the kids were a little bit off.
Yeah. There's just something. They made them to it. They made their brains. I don't know. It was like they made him too old and it just didn't feel believable. That's all.
Right.
Anything else anyone has about the deal here before we do close?
I didn't understand why after the 100 rebuffs from, Kira Sedgwick, he still wanted to sleep with her. I was just like, no,
I know. I would have given up. There's gotta be easier women in that small town,
but not as attractive.
He ought to be able to invent a woman. Like he's like, it just,
You wanted to bust right into Weird Science. Okay, I got you.
I'm just saying I didn't like it.
Whitaker, can I use your computer for a little bit?
I did not like that this subplot was basically she has standards, she has problems, issues, baggage, whatever, but that can all be eliminated by expanding your mind. Yeah, dude, whatever.
I'm going to dissent a little bit from this. I'm going to say I am happy when it isn't just about some guy needing to put his wiener someplace. I'm happy. I'm more happy when it's like he genuinely cares about her, really likes her kids.
Sure. He's willing to he's go in the love, long distance.
He's
to,
in love with
to crack
her.
That shell.
Yeah, he's in love with her. It's more about that than it is getting his wiener wet. That's interesting to me.
It is,
because everything else pushes toward that, and you're just like, all right, it's not all about some dude getting laid. Sometimes it's about a dude finding happiness, and you know, I'd call me, you know, maudlin or whatever, but I like that. I think that's fine.
He was at peace with himself and at peace with town, and just he was at peace a lot.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Sure,
it felt good.
Besides, we all know John Travolta isn't looking for a lady anyway.
Listen,
it's not a big, that's not a earth-shattering revelation.
Oh my goodness, boy, did I, the last time we discussed this on Film Sack, boy, did I end up in trouble on Twitter. It's Scott, not Randy.
Yeah, Scott Johnson. No, he's gay. It's fine. He can be gay all he wants. I wish he was more open
about
it. Now,
is he gay or bisexual?
Well, whatever
it doesn't
he
matter.
Is.
Why don't we discuss it? I don't know.
He's just making out with his pilot, and that's a thing you can do. Whoever, right. Do whatever you
totally
want.
Making out with his autopilot?
He's the one pretending like he's not. I think it's fine. I think he should embrace his dual life that he has.
And we should kick him right out of the closet.
Yeah, we really should. Get out of there.
Come on, get out here. Come on.
Be yourself, buddy. Be yourself.
Billy Preston, blink twice if you're being held against your will.
True story.
All of Scientology.
Always. She is always being held against her will, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Every relationship.
Yeah. I'm gonna do clips now. Let's do some clips.
All right.
And these clips involve various clips. One of them is... This one is about security or scrutiny. I may have combined those two words, so I don't know which one it's about. Here it is.
Security.
So scrutiny. Here you go.
And you call yourself security.
Oh, it's him talking to the dog. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
You call yourself security.
Oh. I want to be with that dog.
My own dog.
Hands on what? Oh, yeah, here's him making... Earlier, this is a little... So maybe I take back everything I said, because he did say this earlier.
Man, I would love to get my hands on your carburetor.
Okay, so maybe he is a little...
Yes, but that was charming, right?
Oh, yeah. Put my dick in your exhaust pipe.
Script rewriter Brian Ibbett makes waves on filming a phenomenon.
You know, I've touched up the script a little. I'd like you to have a look at it and let us know what you think. I wrote, did you hear it here? So I don't know what this is.
Anybody see that? There's that light?
Kind of light.
There was a noise. Did you hear it?
Oh.
Even though I knew you were going to do that, it still totally got me.
I didn't see it coming.
I had no idea.
Was like Robert Duvall's ass on the window. I didn't see it coming.
Nobody's going to believe me, but I actually forgot that I did that until I played it.
Oh, my God.
I believe it. I love it even more.
Here's something Robert Duvall asks of all of us. Here you go.
Pee in the cup.
Oh.
Pee in the cup.
Pee in the cup.
Pee in the cup.
Yeah, I peed in the cup.
Pee in the cup.
All right, I peed in the cup. Good Lord.
Turn to the left.
And this is... Turn to the right.
Walking in here on my knees.
Here's him again. This is him making a, I don't know, I call this old man pleasure sounds. So here you go.
Ooh.
That's after he saw the pent move, I guess.
He does Ooh. Good. I like Duvall noises. He makes me laugh.
Ooh.
It's believable.
Yeah.
It is.
He's pretty good.
I like when he laughs, too. He always looks down when he laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how he do. That's how he do. Here is some funny banter between people.
George, I thought you were smart.
Hey, what you got anyway?
Yeah, besides uncomfortable chairs.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Besides uncomfortable chairs. Take that hippie weed chair.
Zing.
Take that hippie weed chair.
One with nature, whatever.
Here's I have a clip. This is a rare find. I found a clip of Kira Sedgwick as she was trying to be... She was actually at an audition to be on A Few Good Men. And she just couldn't get the line right, and here's her attempting it.
The truth. And you couldn't handle it.
Yeah, no. It's you can't handle the truth, Kira. Okay, let her try again. Take two.
The truth. And you couldn't handle it.
Yeah, send her home. She can't do it.
Aww.
Do you guys watch The Closer?
No. She's good on The Closer, though. She's really good on there. But I've only seen parts. Wait, is it good? Is it worth watching?
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes.
People liked it.
It's not my thing. I think if you like that thing, it's your thing. But I was not.
It's a procedural, you know, like a courtroom deal, right? That's the thing. Yeah.
She's the closer.
Here's Portuguese Travolta.
Eu calma, Zé. Feliz ando encontrado, um menino. El doutor Vidali is uma coisa para ficar melhor.
I'm guessing if you're Portuguese, that sounded like shit.
Even if you're not.
Yeah.
The good news is their audience was American audiences who usually only know one language, English. So they got away with it.
Yeah, they got away with it. They always do, don't they? I don't know what this is.
Oh, by the way, I was a little bit concerned because I was like, will you just hurry up? There's a kid dying somewhere. We've already talked about it. And everybody's just standing around staring at him because he's speaking Portuguese. I'm like,
yeah, no, let's go find the kid, you dumbasses. And also, by the way, if I'd have gone out there and I was in that general area, the first thing I would have checked is that weird treehouse thing.
Right.
There's
a ladder.
What? Weird. Let's get up there. And they never said what those people ate, right? What was their thing that they ate?
I'm assuming it was the housekeeper's Portuguese food, which he was trying to pass off on to Forrest Whitaker. And I'm like, I don't think I'd want to eat anything that lady's fixing.
That entire thing, just like,
it was weird.
I don't know if the day after you find out somebody has powers of learning, you would be in a group of struggling, crazed people under high anxiety going, go get the dumb guy who might be able to speak a language. Go get him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's all a little hard to swallow, some of that stuff. Just ask the Portuguese guy.
Like those Portuguese peaches. Yep, they were hard to swallow.
Here's a short one.
Not all of it.
That's just him saying not all of it. I got a clip of Ibbitt's prom date.
Oh yay!
Yeah, this is actual audio from the night, so the actual prom night. Taken in the car or something.
Wow, this is rare audio we're about to hear.
Yeah,
Did you just say taking it in the car?
Take it in the car. Brian was taking it in the car. And here's how that went. So let's hear what his prom date said.
Look, we're reading Black Beauty, and we are not talking about men.
Okay. Jeez. Brian, were you upset about that? Because those are your two favorite things.
A little bit. Yeah, I was a little bummed. It's funny because when I was a kid, I looked like the kid who was in the movie Black Beauty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Nice.
Is that true?
I was trying to go back and remember why that was so anti-man. I just wasn't sure. Was that what they were kind of saying? It was anti-man?
Was Black Beauty anti-man? I don't know.
I don't think it was. It was pro-horse.
It was definitely pro-horse, Brian. But anti-man, I can't say.
Yeah, you got to remember it being anti-man.
I want that to be on a sign at this woman march they're doing today. I'm not anti-man. I'm pro-horse.
Oh, my gosh.
That's incredible. And by the way, we have a lot of fans who are in that march. Please be safe and all that.
Yeah, well, as we're recording this, the Women's March on Washington is happening in like 500 cities.
Yeah, all over the world. Wow. And if they just stay hydrated and be careful, that's all. I'm impressed by all of you because you're way tougher than me. I don't know if I could handle the subway ride over. Here's Data. Here's Data. Oh, no, wait. I'm jumped ahead some. Let's do the Forrest Whitaker singing that Brian loves so much. Here you go.
Touch me in the morning.
It makes you think of Rogue One a little differently, doesn't it?
Not really.
Oh. All right. Well, it reminds me of imagine his character in Rogue One singing like that. You're never going to see that.
Or Battlefield Earth.
Or Battlefield Earth, for that matter. All right, here's Data. Data's big scene. He comes in. This is 14 seconds long. Here you go.
All right, I'll start the questions, and I'll be timing your responses, and we'll be recording. Any questions?
What's your first name?
My first name is Bob.
Yeah, hey, Bob.
Dr. Bob.
I really liked everything he did in this. I think he was great. Now, here's the best scene in the movie. It involves Brent Spiner, and it is 1 minute long. So tuck in.
Okay.
Here you go.
How old is a person born in 1928?
Man or woman?
Why?
Specifics, Bob.
Okay, one more time. How old is a man born in 1928?
Still alive?
If a man is born in 1928 and he's still alive, how old is he?
What month?
If a man was born October 3rd, 1928, and he's still alive, how old is he?
What time?
10 o'clock p.m.
Where?
Anywhere.
Well, let's get specific, Bob. I mean, if the guy's still alive, born in California, October 3rd, 1928, 10 p.m., he's 67 years, 9 months, 22 days, 14 hours, and 12 minutes. If he's born in New York, he's 3 hours older now, isn't he?
I really like that whole scene.
Isn't he?
And by the way, that scene from top...
I know a lot of smart people who say, isn't he?
Isn't he, yeah. From top to bottom, that scene is exactly precisely 1 minute long.
Wow.
I couldn't help thinking of Daryl the Trek nerd frantically Googling things while you guys talk about other stuff after he's been given a question in the morning. Mm-hmm. Because really, if you were just going to stall for time, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Man or woman. Doesn't freaking matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Now, the month, sure. Is he still alive? Yeah, of course. You know, he'd stop aging after he died, sure.
Yeah.
But everything else, I feel like I was getting older during that damn scene.
I think you were. At least a minute older. All right.
A minute older.
I wanted to punch this guy. I called this, so let's see if I can remember why. Here you go.
What sort of light was it?
Always the reporter. He annoyed me.
What sort of light was it?
Hey, what kind of light did you see?
Was it a big, bright, white light?
Hey. Meh. All right, how do we know this guy? I'm going to play it. You guys tell me how we know this guy. Here you go.
I'm going to ask for your permission for my team to perform open brain surgery.
How do we know that voice?
He's done every voiceover from those old records training records. I mean, from like the 70s, it sounds like.
Well, here he is again. I got another taste of him. Here you go.
You're in a position to contribute as much to our knowledge as any man or woman who's come before you.
Can we track this down? It's driving me crazy.
Is that is that Dr. Giergold or whatever it is?
I think it's Dr. Wellen, isn't it? Dr. Wellen?
Oh, no. Ringgold was the good guy. Let's see.
Dr. Wellen.
Dr. Wellen. There we go.
So it says Jurassic Park. What's that for? Oh, the voice. Is that what I'm thinking of?
He's done a lot of voice work.
This is going to drive me nuts.
Oh, he was a narrator on the TV show Biography for 5 years.
Right. He was on Ally McBeal. That was just an episode. Let me skip.
John Wayne, American legend.
Are we sure we've matched the actor to the voice from the movie?
Pretty sure, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think this is Richard Kiley.
I think I'm hearing the Jurassic Park voice is what I'm hearing, the tour voice. But I could be wrong.
Oh, yes, Jurassic Park tour voice.
I'm not so sure.
All right, play. Can we find? I bet we can find a YouTube video of the Jurassic Park tour.
Hey, I like you thinking.
Just to be clear, I feel like I'm hearing the president from Armageddon, but I know I'm not. I know it's not the same guy exactly.
Do you have a brain tumor shaped like a hand?
Okay, here it is. Jurassic Park tour vehicle program 2.0. You ready?
Yeah, 2.0.
Well, hold on.
That'll be the newer one.
Let me play
Here, I've got a video of the first movie, Jurassic Park Tour.
Did you send it over?
I'm putting in Skype right now. Okay. There it is, right there.
This is great podcasting.
This is good.
It is great. It is great. I love it. We're going to answer a burning question right here.
Yeah, I love this. Okay, here we go. Okay, we're driving. Okay, they're talking. So, God help us from the hands of engineers. During most of your tour, the appropriate information will be automatically selected to display. That is what I'm thinking of, is that voice.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
Hey, look. Simply touch the area of the screen displaying the appropriate icon.
That's totally him, dude. That's totally him. That's it. It's quiet, but that's him.
I honestly think as soon as I heard his voice,
yeah.
To me, it conjured up This Is a Journey into Sound that kicks off Paid in Full by Eric B. and Rakim.
Oh.
The old song.
Oh. Maybe that's it too then.
I wasn't sure if he did the acting or not, but immediately when I heard him talking, I was like, wow, that guy sounds just like...
Give me that song.
As long as we're doing this, could you play a little bit of the president's speech from Armageddon?
Yeah. Armageddon speech.
Maybe I'm way up and I want to be disproved.
Bob Pullman?
Here's the Armageddon speech. Okay, he leaves. What's her name?
Oh, no, that's Independence Day thing now.
Yeah, yeah. All right,
why do they all start with...
I don't know why they wait so long to start talking. It says the best speech ever, but really what we're getting is... Oh, here he is. Well, this might be him.
I address you tonight.
Nope, different guy.
Not as the president.
Yeah, that's not him.
Similar sounding, though.
Yeah, he's similar, but he's...
President of the United States. Not as the leader of a country.
Yeah, that's not him.
See, but when you first played the thing out of context from Phenomenon, that's exactly what I heard.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my brain was Jurassic Park, and I think that's right. And that could be, it could be something else, and maybe you're right on that other stuff, Brian, about the music, but for whatever reason, I got obsessed with that guy, as I'm doing now. I'm completely obsessed with this person.
Yeah, he does have a great voice.
I finally got
write him a letter, jeez.
You found something too, Dunaway?
Is it a song?
Yeah, 1 second. Where's my Skype at?
Paste it in there. Where's my Skype at, son?
Where's my Skype, son?
All right, I'm clicking it. Here we go.
Oh, I already love, just based on the name, I love this.
All right, so this is the start of it.
This is a journey into sound.
Oh, is that him?
No.
No, it's not.
It's very similar, though.
Yeah, I thought it was him. It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very similar. All right, Richard
We're
Kelly.
Americans. We're easily surprised by British voices.
He died in on March 5th, 1999, this guy. So,
oh.
I know, I feel a little bad about that. All right, let's...
Jeffrey Sumner, by the way, is the This is a Journey into Sound.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, see, now we've all learned something. Here is angry acting Robert Duvall to end out our clips.
He wasn't selling anything. He didn't want anything from anybody. He wanted nothing from nobody. Nothing. Nothing.
So wait, let me get this straight. Nothing then?
Nothing from nobody.
Nothing
That's
from
two
nobody.
Negatives.
Yeah, nothing from nobody is everything from everyone, isn't it? Let's ask Bing Rhames.
No,
oh, okay, great. That's pretty incredible.
He wanted nothing from nobody. You want nothing from everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's good. I think nothing from nobody is still the direction you go.
Plus, you're a small town. You just moon people. It's fine.
I'm not a smart man, but I can throw this beer.
That's right. Oh, look at this. Why, it's the Film Sack Checklist. In Phenomenon World, you have to speak right up close to your cassette recorders. Check. Mm-hmm. That town has a serious nighttime wolf problem. Check.
Oh my gosh, that was crazy.
It was crazy. They were going to eat the people.
Oh, no kidding.
Way out of there.
That's bad.
Yeah.
And then finally,
kids inside. Jeez.
Aaron Neville used to be people's first choice for your romantic montages. Check.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek stuff. We have a few. Richard Kiley. We just talked about him. And maybe this is where I remember. Maybe this is where the voice is coming from. But he was Dr. Wellen in DS9, played Gideon Syltik in the episode Second Sight. So it's possible that's also where we're remembering him from. Michael Taylor, producer of DS9 and Voyager, did some writing and other stuff. He was also producer here. Ellen Gear was Bonnie. I don't know who Bonnie was. TNG played Dr. Killamar in the episode Silicon Avatar.
Dr. Killamall.
Killamall. And then finally, the real odd one that no one thought of, Brent Spiner as Dr. Bob Needdorf. He played Data on The Next Generation.
Oh, that's where I'd seen him before.
Yeah, and Lore.
Yeah, that guy.
And Lore, and before. And on, yeah, he was on Night Court.
I knew I'd seen that guy.
Do you know the Larroquette, Dan Larroquette, or what's his name?
Bob John,
Larroquette. John Larroquette is 70 years old right now. I heard his
oh, wow.
His thing on WTF with Marin, and he sounds like the same guy that was always on that show. And he's freaking 70. It just blew my mind. I don't know. Made me feel old. Let's get to the soundtrack grade. I'd give it an SFTM for I'm a Sucker for Thomas Newman. I like that kind of soundtrack. It's
good stuff.
It plays to your your softer thing.
It also follows that comfort food kind of thing, right? Yeah. I mean, it's, you got your harmonicas and your it's whimsical. We're being whimsical right now. Like this dinner that we're having with the kids and they're shaking the table. It's funny. Yeah,
it's full of whimsy.
Very each Power had his own instrument that he played. Right. It was very consistent.
So true. Yeah.
I like that kind of stuff. I can't help it. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Phenomenon. Director John Turteltaub answers the question, what would any man do with telekinetic powers? Probably some freaky sex stuff.
No, it just wants to move pen around. It's fine. Just move a little pen.
Did you guys get that link I sent for the Phenomenon 2 TV movie?
Yeah. Yes. Which how can it be a sequel when it's got the same character and the same thing happens to him, just played by a different actor?
Yeah.
Played by a different actor and in a totally different light, because this movie was all hope and the movie Phenomenon 2 is all doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. All the way having Locke from Lost on it, and it was just It was what happens if everything goes wrong. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. And what's great is like everybody they name, they have to explain like where you may have seen them before. Like,
right. Yeah. From,
from Lost.
Yeah. Lark from Lost. But who was the other one? It was like from
someone, Ellen Burstyn from Have a Piece of Candy Tomorrow.
Right. Leslie. It was some weird stuff.
What was who's the main guy? Who's the actor that played the main character?
Christopher Shire.
Oh, I've never heard of him.
From the Shire.
It's a hobbit.
Oh, is that the deal? All right.
Watch Phenomenon 2 this fall on.
You know what I'll say about Christopher Shire? I'll say this about him.
No, I never heard of him.
Never heard of him. Mm-hmm. No idea.
True story.
Sorry, we haven't finished. Brian Dunaway, your turn.
Phenomenon, like big holy cow movie ideas and little what if movie ideas and medium why not movie ideas. This was the latter. Truly. Travolting.
Oh. Well, you're a dad. You have to make a joke like that once in a while. It's fine.
That's right. What choice did I have?
And finally, Brian Ibbett.
Phenomenon. John Travolta gets a tumor and goes from being the dumbest guy ever to being the dumbest smart guy ever.
Nice. Well done. That really got in your craw, didn't it? That idea that as smart as he was still sort of stupid.
He's still so dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the film, but
I
can't let go of what I'm thinking about, and that is, what sex stuff would a man do? Any man.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so for starters...
Telekinesis or not, you still can't find the G-spot.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, that's true. But for starters, I think if all men got these powers, I think it would just be over for women. Like you would not be able to wear a blouse in public.
Yeah,
you
know exactly. That's why we need to watch that Scott Baio.
Yeah, Zapped, because that's exactly what happens.
Right? Exactly, because that's like on the movie poster. I get telekinetic powers. The first thing I'm doing is lifting women's skirts. Yeah.
But here's the thing: he only seemed to have power over pens and pages of paper. He didn't.
It had to be things made of trees. Yeah, it was things made of trees. Yeah. That was the consistency.
But he just didn't have the ability to move a big object. So I don't know how much important. Yeah, I don't know how.
Nor the ability to make good decisions, like the fact that he just built a car that could go 90 miles on one tank of gas or something like that, but then he ends up driving out to his girl's house in the tow truck.
Yeah.
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 Most inefficient means by which to travel.
That thing's a gas hog in the 10th degree. Right. All right, we have these. These are alternative titles, everybody. I've got them. Ow, right here. These are the alternative titles. Well, you know what I use, Brian? It's that pewter hammer thing we got with those pigs.
I was going to say it sounded like the top from Inception.
Yeah, knocked over. Landed on my finger.
How's your totem doing?
Finish spinning. Our alternative titles go like this: Battlefield Earth Farm or Saturday Night Telekinesis. All right. Moving on.
Both of those.
That's pretty good. Email. We got an email from Alan. Alan wrote in to filmsack@gmail.com, and we love your emails, so please keep them coming, everybody. This one says this: Dear Scott, Brian, and Randy. Put a lot of A's in there for some reason.
Alan.
Your recent discussion on how many times celebrities get married was interesting. I personally know three people who have been married multiple times. Two friends of mine have been married 5 times each. Both of them remarried wife number 4. And my uncle was married at least 5 times. I kind of lost track with him, in parentheses. The point you missed about having to be really wealthy to get married that many times is when you have no money, divorce is essentially free. It happens more often in the rural Midwest than most people realize. I hope this helps the discussion. I love Film Sock and look forward to it every week. Keep up the good work.
Helps the discussion. Yep. All right.
Well, I ain't getting no more broke. Might as well get divorced.
He's from the cornfields of Southern Illinois and would know more than anyone if the rural Midwest is experiencing a lot of high divorce.
Honey, what's half of nothing? That's what you're getting.
That's right.
Every person that I just chat with during the week about FilmSack, you know, like coworker, friend, whatever, and they listen to FilmSack, every single one of them was like, man, there is nothing more boring than you guys talking about celebrity marriages. Like, come on.
Really?
I was amazed that we got an email from somebody who actually found it an interesting discussion.
Yeah, no, I think he's not the only one. We got numerous ones, and most of them were confirming what we thought, which was, you know, we think Hollywood divorces happen more often. I think maybe all of that's true is that Hollywood divorces cost more money.
I think Hollywood marriages happen more often. People are a lot more likely to go get married if they don't see that, you know, there's really little downside.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's more news about it too, because there's plenty of people that I know in real life that I talk to casually, and I'm like, oh, you're married? Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been married 3 times? Didn't know that.
Oh
yeah,
people hide things from you, Brian Dunaway.
Well, they may hide them, but some things are just, you know, straight up private, and you're not a public person, so why would anyone know? You're not Brangelina or anything, and so yeah, right. I think there's a bias to. It's like anything. Shark attacks are up. Really? There's been one in the last 10 years? Well, go to hell, CNN. It's like that. It's like everyone thinks everything's right. Something if they're all hearing about it, and sometimes it's nothing. Well done. Good email. Thank you there, Alan, from the cornfields of Southern Illinois. Next
divorce
week.
Capital of the world.
Yeah, that's right. Rural divorce capital of the world, where it costs nothing to get divorced. Come to rural Illinois, which is, by the way, where Tom Merritt is from. So Tom Merritt is happily married and has been since they got married. All right. Let's
brace yourselves for next week's film. Brace yourselves.
What is it?
Cape Fear.
The narrow one, right?
The newest one, right?
Yeah. Want this
come
one.
Come out wherever you are.
Yeah. Sure, that. Yeah.
Warriors,
come out and play that one.
Yeah. They tink two bottles together. It'll be great. This is Nick Nolte. This is De Niro, and I don't remember anyone else. Oh, Juliette
Lewis. I'm excited about this.
Okay. I like her.
I've only actually ever seen like a few minutes of this movie, and it was end. Yeah, I've only seen the end. And I've always meant to go back and watch the rest of it. And so I'm fascinated.
Right. Have you seen the Simpsons episode that is based on this?
I have not.
Well,
no.
It's really
You could ask that about anything, though.
Well, all right. There's not one based on Phenomenon.
That's true.
I'll bet you there is.
I will bet you money
right now.
There probably is. Yeah. Cletus gets intelligence all of a sudden.
No, Homer. It would be Homer. Crayon up the nose is probably based on Phenomenon.
Oh my gosh, Crayon Up the Nose is Phenomenon.
It is Phenomenon.
Okay. It may not be overt. It may not be overt where they're specifically referencing characters or something, but that is totally what that,
that
is.
That is the Simpsons equivalent.
I love that episode. It's one of the best.
Listen, 22 seasons of a show, you're going to start having to base it on existing stuff.
Even The Simpsons has spoofed Pokemon Go. Yeah. It says you're a gamer.net.
Simpsons did it.
Spoofed Pokemon Go?
Spoofed it. You know, spoof.
Yeah. There's an awful lot of Pokemon Go players who are spoofing the game right now.
Yeah. It's all everyone's being spoofed right now by a lot of things. We're all getting spoofed. You know what I'm saying? there's your show, everybody. Cape Fear next week. Tune in for that. In the meantime, filmsack.com is our website. You can go there and comment in the posts and stuff and hang out with us. That's great. We love it. You can also leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. A little dry there right now, but I'm sure some are coming. Filmsack@gmail.com. We do get tons of emails, so thanks for those. Keep those coming. On Twitter, @Filmsack. And, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, leave us reviews there because it helps us in ways that are difficult for me to express. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Mm.
We'll see you next time.
It's
not a tumor.
Move it again.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
And scene.
There we go.